¡Viva el pueblo de Granada!
¡Viva!
¡Viva el pueblo del Salvador!
¡Viva!
¡Viva el pueblo de Angola!
¡Viva!
¡Viva el pueblo de Mozambique!
¡Viva!
This is a Building Bridges, Your Community and Labor Report special. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Could the bad old days be returning to the National Federation, the AFL-CIO's operations in other countries? The fear is that in Venezuela, the AFL-CIO was supporting both a right-wing union federation and a U.S.-backed coup. President Hugo Chavez had infuriated Washington by attempting to restructure the oil industry to achieve greater national control of Venezuelan oil resources. He criticized the Bush administration's war on terrorism, opposed the free trade area of the Americas, and called for an end to the Cuban embargo. Indeed, a coup arrived in Venezuela in the early morning hours of Friday, April 19th, when top military officers confronted President Hugo Chavez and demanded his resignation. Opposition to Chavez was led by top business leaders along with leaders of the Venezuelan Labor Federation, the CTV, including CTV President Carlos Ortega. As part of a general strike organized by this coalition, executives of the state-owned oil company had cut production by half at the country's main refinery and nearly halted oil exports. Throughout the Cold War, the AFL-CIO's international work was funded by the U.S. government and served to further U.S. government interests. The AFL-CIO supported unions based on their support for U.S. economic policies. When John Sweeney was elected head of the AFL-CIO in 1995, the Federation seemed to be turning over a new leaf. But on February 12th, the AFL sponsored a closed forum featuring representatives of the CTV who were reported to have discussed chances of a coup in Venezuela.
And now let's hear from Aristobulo Istariz, Minister of Education of Venezuela. He first talks about the need in this period after the coup to unify the country by reaching out to all sectors of society, including some, like the trade unions, which had sympathized with the coup.
Todas las fuerzas nos estamos uniendo en un comando político, patriótico, revolucionario. Todas e individualidades importantes de sectores. No solo la fuerza de los partidos que respaldamos a Chávez, también sectores de líderes de la cultura, líderes intelectuales.
This whole process has been developing whereby we're calling on all the forces of society to come together as a single command, basically, a revolutionary and patriotic command that involves everyone, every sector. And that includes the sector of culture, the intellectuals, altogether, and we're also inviting to the table of dialogue all those people, even those who had participated and sympathized with the coup itself, in order to begin a real dialogue and discussion about the future of Venezuela.
The old guard unionists had opposed a December 2000 referendum that was passed by 67% of those who voted. It resulted in a direct election of union leaders, but when the union elections were held, the old guard won. And the Chavez government refused to recognize the results, which they say were rigged. Aristobulo Istariz talks about the elections and the government's response.
Ya en la mesa están todos los sectores. Los trabajadores sí están. Porque lo que pasa en la CTV, en la central, y es bien importante porque aquí hay sindicatos, es que en Venezuela, de acuerdo con la Constitución,
the table that we've constituted, that we've organized to pull everybody together, it's also very important to have the participation of the workers and the working class. We have the CTB, we have the unions, and this is something that's rooted within the Venezuelan Constitution. One thing that's very critical is that we have to have leaders and authorities within the union movement that come about as a result of universal, direct and democratic elections. That has not been the history of Venezuela and the formation of the unions. There haven't been this mechanism of universal elections.
Esta constitución obligó a la elección universal, directa y secreta. Y fuimos a elecciones. 2,800 sindicatos, más de 2,800 sindicatos, renovaron la directiva. Las federaciones regionales también, las federaciones nacionales, y votamos para la CTV. Yo enfrenté a Carlos Ortega, yo fui el candidato.
There is this law basically calling for the direct and universal vote, the democratic vote for the unions themselves. There are 2,800 unions that were supposed to have been engaged in this democratic process, so we called for a renovation of the directions of the leadership of the union on a federal and regional level. I myself confronted Ortega, who was one of the leaders of the mafia within the union movement, and one thing that he did is that when the elections took place, all of a sudden, 50% of the ballots disappeared while he was there.
Ellos, en nombre de la autonomía sindical, dirigieron todo el proceso. Lo único que tenían era que presentar las actas, perdón, al Consejo Nacional Electoral, las actas. No las presentaron porque asaltaron. Sindicato, falsificaron.
We were calling for the democratic process to go on in terms of the elections of the union leaders, and what we're waiting for is the delivery of the ballots to the National Electoral Council. And there wasn't a presentation of those ballots. They were falsified, they were invented, they were torn up, and there was this tremendous corruption that was going on. We accepted the results of the federation itself, but in terms of the directives, the representatives, we said we will not accept the results until we have an accounting of the legitimate ballot.
Over the last year, the U.S. government dispersed over $150,000 through the National Endowment for Democracy to the AFL-CIO to aid the Venezuelan unions. Carlos Ortega, president of the CTV, the Venezuelan Labor Federation, not only supported but participated in the coup. Aristobulo Estariz says that the Chavez government will not recognize Ortega as the leader of the Labor Federation. They invite leaders from other unions in the country to participate in a dialogue with the government.
Ellos tienen más de 60 años controlando la central, con mafias internacionales de la CIOL, FM CIOL, factores que tienen en la OIT metido. Y nosotros dijimos, o hay elecciones de nuevo en la directiva, no reconocemos a Carlos Ortega. Y no lo vamos a reconocer. La oposición lo ha agarrado para tratar de confrontarlo, y él estaba metido en la conspiración además. Si el viernes
okay, there's been more than 60 years that the central has been encrusted within the leadership has been in the central, has been had a lot to do with the interference and the support that was coming from the United States, from the AFL-CIO and various unions here. And we said very clearly that we were not going to recognize the leadership, the old leadership, that comes about according to the old terms and the old methodologies. There was a conspiracy that was there from the very beginning, and we do remember very clearly that Ortega was one of the figures that was there, along with Carmona, along with the general, that were going to form this triumvirate to rule over Venezuela. The coup did not work. Ortega left the country, and afterwards, subsequently, he came back and nothing happened. But he came back with the idea that he wanted to represent the CTB. We said, absolutely not. You know, if you want to generate a civil war, then simply forget about it. But what we do have at the table, who we do want to dialogue with, are those members of the various federations, including the metal workers, the metro workers, the petroleum workers. But we will allow Ortega to be at the table, but never, ever as representative of the CTV.
Además es el pupilo del corrupto Carlos Andrés Pérez, que desde aquí lo monitorea. Desde aquí, desde Nueva York. Desde aquí. Y él vino aquí, Ortega. Y nosotros sabemos quiénes vinieron. Y fueron a Washington. Y sabemos con quiénes se reunieron. Y cuántas veces se reunieron. y le grabamos telefónicamente las conversaciones con Peric.
Basically, it's clear that when Ortega came up here, he met with Andres Perez, who's basically leading this whole conspiracy. We have conversations that were recorded, and it is very clear that from here, from this vantage point, he has been leading a lot of these conspiracies.
Viva el pueblo del Salvador!
Viva!
Viva el pueblo de Angola!
Viva!
Viva el pueblo de Mozambique!
Viva!
You've been listening to selections from a speech by Aristobulo Isdoriz, Minister of Education of Venezuela, talking about the very strained relationship between the government and unions in Venezuela, especially in light of the failed coup of this last April. Last year, U.S. unions on the West Coast passed resolutions calling upon the AFL-CIO to open its books on its history of intervention in Latin America and elsewhere. The role of the AFL-CIO in funding Venezuelan unions over the past year makes such revelations and debate even more necessary.
This has been a Building Bridges, your community and labor report special produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.